Throw-ins, corners, yellow cards. Previously very boring, now almost too exciting. Thanks to Same Game Multibets from Paddy Power. Same Game Multis allow you to combine multiple selections into one game. Easy. Available on all UK and top European leagues. T's and C's apply.
Hello and welcome to the Racing Post Football Postcast. I'm joined by my Racing Post colleagues Mark Langdon and Joe Champion here in the studio. And on the line we've got Malachy Rooney from our sponsors Paddy Power. Now we're going to start off by looking back at the match day one of the Champions League. Plenty of stories, and I'm going to start with Mark Langdon here. You have to imagine this question in a kind of Jeff Shreve's voice, but just how important was Liverpool's late winner against PSG, Mark?
I don't think it was hugely important, actually, because because of the results elsewhere. Because Napoli didn't beat Red Star, you imagine that both of those teams can go through. But I think it was it wasn't important in terms of them progressing through the competition. I think in terms of what Liverpool believe they can do this year, what they can achieve, following on from the excellent performance. Prove me wrong, really, at Wembley. It wasn't just the fact that they beat Tottenham; it was the manner in which they absolutely destroyed them and blitzed them and should have been way out of sight before Spurs even made the score respectable. So following that performance with another big one where they dominated Paris Saint-Germain for probably about 80 minutes of the 90, still need to just work on those sort of dozy moments they have at the back where they keep giving teams a little sniff like they did Spurs, like they did Paris, even Leicester as well. So that's something for them to work on. But is it a coincidence that Tottenham and Paris Saint-Germain look terrible against Liverpool, or is it the fact that Liverpool are just outstanding in midfield and just press the hell out of you? And even if they don't, you're so scared that they're going to that you make the wrong decision. So I think from that point of view, it's been an amazing week for Liverpool, just building on from what they started. Really, I suppose at the end of last season, they've carried it through and they are looking at the moment as good as anything around. It's a long season, but they're looking fantastic.
And I know you put them up as one of your selections outright.
Mention the other team.
we'll come to that in a minute. But how do you see them balancing if they are going to have a serious tilt at the Premier League, which it looks like they are, and then can they go all the way in Europe as well?
Do you know, I think they can. And I think it's because of their rotation options in midfield. We've not even seen £50 million man Fabinho. Yeah. He come on for about a minute of that game against Paris. So, I mean, he's somebody that eventually you would imagine would find his way into that team. Naby Keita, we haven't seen more than 15-20% of what he is capable of. And Henderson hasn't been starting either, really. So at the moment, it's been kind of the unsung hero in Wijnaldum and Milner that have really been pushing that midfield through. You've seen Daniel Sturridge when he has come on. He scored a couple of goals, one against Paris. He got the tap-in against West Ham. So they're looking, and Salah hasn't really started the season particularly well. So I think they're looking good options up front, good options in midfield. Lovren, the best defender in the world, according to himself, he's not been fit yet. So, I think they're looking good. I mean, Klopp balanced it out when he was at Dortmund. They played the same football. He got to a Champions League final and, they did well in Bundesliga. They won double. So, I don't see that as an excuse, particularly, if they get injuries, that can happen to anybody. But, no, I think as long as they get a fair run with those, he can balance it out fine.
Certainly plenty of depth at Liverpool. Exciting times there. Joe, obviously Manchester United made a winning start. The other two English clubs, how do you rate their performances? It's obviously, don't want to read too much into one match form, but Manchester City, I don't think anyone saw that performance against Lyon coming from.
Yeah, I wouldn't be inclined to worry too much about City, to be honest. These things can happen, and for most of the game they looked like they were going to score. They just didn't. Sterling had chances in the first half. To be honest, they will, I expect, bounce back, and their group's not too hard, so it shouldn't really be a problem for them. As far as Tottenham are concerned, they're going through a little rough patch at the moment. We know they've got the class, but they haven't improved over the summer, obviously, so have they got the depth to challenge on all fronts? I'm not so sure.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see that. I mean, Mark, a Tottenham fan, you concerned by your crisis club?
Yeah, I was more concerned on Saturday than I was on Tuesday. Yeah. Actually, against Inter, they had a rough sort of opening 15-20 minutes. I thought they rode that storm out pretty well, and for the next hour were the better side. They had a couple of opportunities to get the second goal, which didn't come. Icardi, who usually is a predator inside the box, scored an amazing goal that turned the tables, really. But, and it's a bad result for the group because Barcelona, you would expect, would go through and, you know, it's put the pressure on them. But I didn't think it was... It kind of fits the narrative that, oh, they've lost again, everything's gone wrong for Spurs. I didn't feel like it was... You know, I didn't feel like it was that terrible a performance, really. Yeah. And there's still a decent opportunity to qualify. If it comes down to the head-to-head between themselves and Inter, they have at least got an away goal. And I thought there were one or two signs, actually, that, you know, the Liverpool performance was a bit of a one-off.
Yeah, and they were pretty unlucky at Watford, weren't they? I mean, there's obviously a losing run, which makes the headlines. But coming to Malachy now, we'll just get a Champions League show after those first games. But... I'm guessing that that Manchester City's defeat did you a huge boost at Paddy Power.
Yeah, it was actually. It was probably the best result, barring the Napoli draw, just because of the way the other fixtures went on Tuesday night. Just in the outright betting, I mean, people are saying City should drift massively, but they're still a very short price to get out of the group and to top the group even. So City are still favourites in the outright 11-2, followed by Barcelona, who are joint favourites now at 11-2 as well. Juventus and Bayern Munich, both sevens. Liverpool have been cut in massively from their earlier prices. I think 12s and 14s was available a few weeks ago. They're now 15-2. Real Madrid are the same, and then PSG and Atletico both 10s. So the big mover really was Liverpool as a result of their victory against PSG, but City still 5s and still rightly so, I think.
Malachy, who impressed you in on match day one?
I actually thought Liverpool were impressive. I know it's an easy one to go to, but a lot of the reaction seemed to be negative about PSG, particularly their attitude. I kind of thought you have to give Liverpool a credit here. You can't keep saying that, you know, it's the team they're playing against that are poor. So when they played against Spurs, Spurs were poor. When they played against PSG, PSG are poor. I actually think it's just gotten to the stage where Liverpool are that good and they're that difficult to play against for these teams that credit has to go to them. Barcelona obviously played very well in their 4-0 victory. I expected that to be a lot closer. I think PSV won 7-0 at the weekend as well. So they were kind of going into that in the best possible form. I didn't see the Juventus match. I saw Ronaldo was sent off quite early. They must have done well to come back and recover from that and win 2-0. It's difficult, I think, when the games are on at the same time to get a feel for how some of the teams play. Atletico probably put in a very Atletico performance to come back from 1-0 down and win as well. And, of course, United must have been impressive last night because that was a game where if they were struggling still in the league as much as they were earlier in the season, I think they would have struggled to come away with a victory.
Malachy, I just noticed on Tuesday particularly, there looked some pretty competitive betting heats, which you don't always get in the group stage. I think Barca are probably the only real hot pot. Was that good for turnover? And some of these groups look like they're going to produce some pretty tasty fixtures.
Yeah, so Tuesday nights would have been probably the most competitive I can remember from a group stage match day of the Champions League. So Barca were 10s on at home to PSV. But the next shortest favourite was Galatasaray, who were 172, as well as Napoli away to Belgrade. So for the second and third, in list of shortest favs to be such a big price, it is extremely unusual. Seven of the eight games, the favs are bigger than 4-6. So you don't really get that often. And that does encourage people to get involved more so. I think people don't really like backing 1-10 shots and throwing them in just because they think they'll definitely win. But those days are kind of gone. People prefer the overs and stuff like that. And if you're watching a game as well, a lot of people stay involved, stay tuned when it's a bit more competitive. Year on year, I actually was looking back on the volume compared to the opening day last year. And volume was down this year for the day, which I kind of was like, geez, that's a bit strange. But when I looked into it more, there was actually a full round of English lower leagues on the corresponding day last year. So there was League One, League Two, full championship, whereas this year there was only the 5 championship games. So it's quite hard to tell exactly what effect it has, the competitiveness of the games and also the staggered kickoff time. But we would expect turnover would be a lot higher on the Champions League group stage this year, particularly when you have the likes of Inter Milan and Spurs playing each other and it's not clashing with Liverpool and PSG. So there is a lot of people that will watch both games and will bet on both games. So it should be very good for turnover.
Yeah, those staggered kickoff times should encourage punters and bookies there. Now, obviously, so much to talk about in the Champions League, perhaps less so in the Europa League, but we're talking on Thursday morning. It is starting tonight, and Chelsea and Arsenal dominating the market. Joe, any strong fancies at this stage, or were you?
It's hard to tell at this stage, really, because we don't know yet who's going to be in the Champions League teams to go into Europa. We talked about Napoli, they could be one of them and they'd be obvious runners. Even if Man City lost another game, I mean, it seems unlikely, but it could happen. So we don't really know at the moment, and much will depend on where teams are in the league as well come February time. If Chelsea and Arsenal are both struggling to make the top four, then they'll be throwing everything at the Europa. If they're comfortably in the top four, then they probably won't be.
Unai Emery obviously has a fabulous record in this competition. But
is that
him
a good thing or a bad thing?
I think I wrote in today's paper, actually, it's kind of damning with faint praise, yeah, isn't it, if you're a Europa League specialist. But yeah, I think winning it three times on the spin with Sevilla was a pretty decent effort. What sort of teams are you expecting him and Maurizio Sarri to pick, particularly in the group stages?
I would have thought that Emery would have taken it more seriously because of his record in it. I mean, Sarri, when he was in the Champions League with Napoli, it wasn't his first priority. And, you know, if Chelsea continue, you know, to be in and around, sort of, you know, nobody's really talking about the top of the table. Nobody's talking about them. But if they are in the Premier League hunt, then he has to give it up. He's already resting Eden Hazard. I don't expect to see too much of him in this competition. It'll be your Loftus-Cheeks and Barkley's of this world. So I'd probably rather be on Arsenal. I mean, there's more potential for them to take it seriously. I wouldn't be backing anybody front end of the market because of who could drop in. I think there's two big prices that you could throw a couple of quid at. Now, one would be Real Betis. Six of the last 10 winners have been Spanish, so they tend to take it quite seriously. And it's not just Sevilla, that there's a good record, really, of even sort of smaller teams than that. Betis are in with Olympiacos, Dudelange and Milan. I think they'll come through. Kiki Setien plays really nice football. They've brought in Lo Celso and William Carvalho, so that they've got a decent squad. And the other one, last season semi-finalist, Salzburg, can't make it into the Champions League. They absolutely battered Red Star, who then drew with Napoli, and the market was right against the Italians. So Salzburg, I think, are a decent side. Got the likes of Adara, and they've also got to play this phony game against their bigger brother, RB Leipzig, rather than RB Salzburg, which will be fascinating. You know, for last season semi-finalists, they're a good team. They're 50-1 with Paddy Power. I think there's hundreds out there, so couldn't put you off them.
Good stuff. And Maliki, just... we've had Mark go for a couple of bigger price ones. What price are Chelsea at the top of the market and Arsenal?
So Chelsea, after seeing a good bit of support, are now 11-2 favourites. Arsenal are 8-1. Sevilla and AC Milan are both 16-1. And then we've got Bayer Leverkusen, Red Bull Leipzig and Lazio all 25s, and it's 33s better than.
And do you see much interest at this stage, or is it punters purely happy to wait until the end of the group stage and then, you know, the last 32 with the Champions League sides dropping in?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. It's a peculiar one because what you generally see is a few large bets as opposed to a lot of interest from casual punters. So we laid a couple of quite substantial bets on Arsenal and Chelsea just before the draw was made. Now, I don't know if that was because of the English bias. I mean, it's very hard to say that the price on them is too big when you don't really know who's dropping in from the Champions League. As we saw last year when Atletico dropped in, I think they went into the betting at 5-1 or 11-2 Favs, which was clearly wrong once you could kind of ascertain that they were going to play and that they were by far the best team. If that was the actual lineup for and no teams were coming in, like Chelsea would be a fantastic bet, but it's too early to tell. One selection I kind of thought, which is the team I support, is Milan. I think Milan, there's 25-1 available on them out there. I think they're very backable price, and they're almost definitely going to take the competition seriously, which is a huge factor. It's hard to tell that at this stage because teams playing for top four, as Mark said, their league position later on in the season is a crucial factor on whether or not they decide to go for it or not. Teams like Arsenal, Milan, anyone who hasn't won anything in quite a while will almost definitely go for it because I mean, Arsenal finished fourth in the league so many years in a row. I'd say people would have happily won a Europa League in that period and not finished fourth. You still get into the Champions League now as well, which is a great incentive. But I think Milan are a backable price at 25s after signing Higuain and Caldara.
Oh, great stuff. And lads, just before we get into the weekend action, any teams outside the Premier League catch your eye either last weekend or in midweek?
For me, it was Portsmouth. They won that big top of the table clash in League One at Peterborough, James. And it wasn't just the fact that they won the game. I think the market moved for them. I said on last week's show they opened up about 9-4. They were heavily supported. Clearly, the market rates them quite a bit higher up than Peterborough. 2-1 didn't seem to flatter them at all. They've got a very strong... I saw them last season. They've got a very strong defence. I was just worried about the goals, and they seem to have added that. With Barnsley and Sunderland not always, winning at the moment. I know that there's a lot of confidence behind Barnsley, but, they've dropped points again. Portsmouth have started the season in very good shape.
Excellent. Champ, anything catch your eye?
Nothing from the domestic scene as such, but... back to the Champions League, really. Really impressed with how Juventus responded to the Ronaldo red card. They were destroying Valencia before he was sent off. And to recover from their main man being sent off to win the game 2-0, very impressive. So they're definitely ones to watch out for when they play United.
Yeah, showed plenty of character there. Right, well, we're going to get stuck into the first Saturday game in the Premier League, which is Fulham kind of soundly beaten at Manchester City, but they've not looked out of their depth after promotion against Watford, whose winning streak came to an end against Manchester United, but still made a terrific start to the season. So Malachy, if we can get the match prices and your verdict on this first game of the weekend, please.
Yeah, so Fulham are favourites at home here at 11-8. The draw is 12-5, and Watford are 15-8. So I think this will be a cagey enough one to kick off. I actually think it's going to be quite an interesting match. I'd love to see an early goal from Fulham. I think that would really open the game up, and we get to see how Watford would react to that. Everyone knows, obviously, Watford have probably been the story this season so far. They've been very impressive. Saw an interesting stat there on Twitter. They have the lowest... expected goals conceded from open play in the league, less than one per match. So in theory, they are quite difficult to score against from open play. Fulham have shipped the most goals in the league so far, obviously. But I think that they have kind of underperformed a little bit. I would expect more to come from them. I thought they were brilliant last year, and I don't see enough of a drop-off to be too concerned about them. I'm not expecting a massively high-scoring game here. I think it'll be quite cagey. So I've gone with half-time draw at 6-5, and Watford possibly just showing their class in the second half. I've gone half-time draw, full-time Watford at 6-1.
Champ, how do you see this one unfolding?
I actually think it could be a good game. In fact, plenty of goals. The bookmakers have obviously sussed this. It's 8-13, both teams to score. So, both teams are dangerous in front of goal. Malachy mentioned Watford's defensive capabilities, but Fulham, they know how to open teams up. And, we've talked about how they've conceded plenty of goals, but they've also scored plenty as well. Their matches this season average 3.8 goals. So I was looking at BTS at 8-13. It's maybe a bit short, maybe over 2.5 at 4-6, a little bit bigger.
Good stuff. Mark, have you been impressed by Fulham?
I think I maybe was expecting more of Fulham, which is why I'm slightly disappointed, even though two of their away games have been at Tottenham and Manchester City. And, the opening day against Crystal Palace, they'd put their team together quite late. They were done really as well, because they played quite well for sort of half an hour in that game. So I'm prepared to sort of give them a couple more chances. Certainly at the start of the season, I would have definitely been, these would have been the match odds, I would have backed Fulham. I'm slightly more nervous now because Watford have started the season well, but I thought over 2.5 goals was fair enough. I mean, Fulham have conceded at least two in every match. And like I say, they put that team together, particularly the defensive part of it. It was quite late, really. I mean, they had to sort out the fullback positions because of departures in the summer. They were very attack-minded at Man City last week. Vieto was playing, and you had Schürrle and Mitrovic. Sessegnon was at left back. So I don't see why they're going to take a step backwards at home to Watford, and that might suit Watford's front too. So I think this could be a good game. Yeah, over 2.5 goals.
Excellent. Well, we're going to take a short break. Stay with us for the best bets and the rest of Saturday's Premier League games.
Throw-ins, corners, yellow cards. Previously very boring, now almost too exciting. Thanks to Same Game Multibets from Paddy Power. Same Game Multis allow you to combine multiple selections into one game. Easy. Available on all UK and top European leagues. T's and C's apply.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Football Postcast. I'm James Milton with Mark Langdon, Joe Champion and Malachy Rooney from Paddy Power. We're looking ahead to Saturday's 3 o'clock kickoffs in the Premier League. Malachy, Burnley versus Bournemouth to start off with. Prices and your verdict, please.
So Burnley are 7-4 at home here. The draw is 11-5 and Bournemouth are 13-8 favourites. And I think Bournemouth will win this one at 13-8. I think they're a reasonably backable price. Burnley having real problems and Bournemouth coming off a good win. So I'd be very anti-Burnley. I go Bournemouth straight win at 13-8.
Good stuff. Joe, what do you reckon?
I'm actually willing to take a chance on Burnley this week. I think it's one of the first times, or the first time, that Sean Dyche has got a chance to work with the squad for a whole week. They've had Europa League and then they had the international break, so here's a first chance for them to finally get a win under their belts.
I'm going to complete the set here by going for the draw. I Burnley were terrible at Wolves last week, but I think we saw sort of what they are trying to get back to last season, where they just defend, and it might be enough to get a point against Bournemouth.
There we go. Guaranteed winners on this podcast, I tell you. Cardiff against Manchester City. Malachy, Man City obviously upset in the Champions League in midweek. How do you see this one going?
Yes, so Man City are 1-8 heavy favourites here. The draw is 7-1 and Cardiff are a massive 20-1. I think City are obviously much too good for Cardiff, but especially after coming off such a poor result and Guardiola looking furious, I think there could be a rout in store here. So I've gone for City -2 at 6-5.
Joe?
Yeah, City should win easily, I suspect. They've got players to come back in, so I wouldn't worry about them having played in midweek. If Leroy Sané starts, he could be valued to score first, 11-2.
I'm going to go for Man City, split my stakes on 3-0 and 3-1, just in case they do, from a set piece. I mean, Bamba got one against Chelsea and they can doze off, but I think it'll be easy enough for City to bounce back.
Excellent. Crystal Palace against Newcastle, who could really do with the result. Malachy.
Crystal Palace are even money favourites here. The draw is 23-10 and Newcastle are 11-4 underdogs. I'm actually quite anti Newcastle and backed them to go down earlier on in the season, so I think a draw is probably the most likely here if I had to make a pick in the match betting. But I've gone for Zaha, first goal scored 5-1 for a bit of a larger price. I think he can cause some problems.
Newcastle have got 1 point, but they've played Arsenal, Man City, Chelsea and Tottenham, so can't really judge them just yet for all that I think they are in trouble this year. I'm inclined to go for the draw at 23-10.
I like the draw in this one as well. I would like to see how the injury situation for Newcastle is, because last week there was no Lascelles, Shelvey, Kennedy. I mean, they are, key players for them. But Bruce Millington, who usually sits in your chair, James, he went up to Huddersfield last week and said Palace were absolutely terrible despite beating Huddersfield 1-0. So I'm prepared to sort of believe that they're not very good at the moment. So draw.
There you go. Huddersfield unlucky last weekend. They're away at Leicester this weekend. Malachy, how do you see this one going?
So Leicester are 8-15 favourites here. The draw is 11-4 and Huddersfield are 5-1. And again, I've backed Huddersfield to go down. It's a pity 5 or 6 don't go down, but I've gone for Leicester -1 at 7-4. I think they'll bounce back and they have enough firepower to cause problems.
I think Leicester are probably going to be too good for Huddersfield. I think Huddersfield have only scored twice, so Leicester to win to nil sticks out for me.
I mean, Huddersfield have only scored 5 goals in their last 15 matches, but the pressure's on Puel at the moment at Leicester. And I think Huddersfield might well be able to frustrate Leicester for a while, so I was just looking at the draw Leicester full-time result. If Leicester don't win, wouldn't be surprised if Puel was out of a job.
One manager not under pressure, Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool. Can they maintain their winning streak? They're at home to Southampton. Malachy, what are the prices and your expert verdict on this one, please?
So Liverpool are obviously heavy favourite here at 1-6. The draw is 6-1 and Southampton are outsiders at 14-1. I think you'd be hard-pressed to oppose Liverpool against anyone at the moment, the way they're playing. So, again, I'd expect them, regardless of how to start the game, even to go behind, they're probably going to win this one and win it by a couple of goals. I've gone for a bit of an outsider again. 9-2 is available there. Mane, first goal scorer with some firms. He's actually going off a shorter price than Firmino. So if he can get in on the box on the end of something, I think he has a great chance of getting the first goal.
I think Liverpool should win easily enough. You know, they've conceded against Spurs and PSG, but Southampton don't quite have the weapons that those two have got. So a Liverpool to win to nil sticks out just around even money.
I think the interesting one here is how much of the book, first goal scorer book, Salah is taking up at the moment. Of course, won the Premier League Golden Boot last season. That was kind of out of characteristic, maybe, with his scoring stats in other seasons. He's kind of gone back to normality this year. I just wonder if those front three should all be basically about the same price. And I just think Firmino, Firmino is the one. He plays, you know, centre forward, scored against Spurs, scored against Paris Saint-Germain, scored for Brazil in the international break. For me, it's Firmino.
Yeah, they split those 30 goals in the Champions League evenly last year, didn't they?
So yeah, they
maybe
did,
that is
yeah.
The way to look at it. And finally, Manchester United had a pretty comfortable start to their Champions League campaign. They host Wolves, who have impressed plenty. Malachy, how do you bet here?
So Manchester United are favourites here at 8-15. The draw is 3-1 with Wolves outsiders at 5-1. I think this is a potential to be a very good game, actually. United, after playing midweek, I don't know what level of fatigue they'll have. Wolves have been very impressive. So I'd be happy enough to take United on here at the price. And I've gone for Wolves +1 at 7-5. I think a draw for them away from home would be a great result at Old Trafford.
There can't be many promoted teams going to Old Trafford at that kind of price. Joe, what do you reckon?
Wolves being shown plenty of respect in the market, aren't they? I just suspect United might be a bit too good for them, but I expect Wolves can get on the score sheet, so I'll go for United and both teams to score.
I mean, the big complaint for me is, why is this game not on TV? If they were picking the games now, it would definitely be on. I couldn't bat United 8-15. I wouldn't be surprised if there was money for Wolves. +1 on the Asian handicap. You get your money back if they only lose by one goal. I mean, it's a big test for Wolves, no doubt about it, but they've already passed one when they drew with Man City. You look at the sort of prices United tend to go off. I mean, you know, they were nearly outsiders against Tottenham at home, and Wolves could be best of the rest this season, so I'd be happily taking on United in this one.
Yeah, really interesting set of 3 o'clock games. And the Saturday 5:30 kickoff is another intriguing one. Brighton, who already beaten Manchester United at the Amex this season, taking on Tottenham. So, Malachy, can Brighton pull off another big scalp down there?
I think it's an interesting game again. I agree with Mark's point there that United Wolves game definitely should have been televised. It's probably one of the best games of the weekend. For the Brighton Spurs game, Brighton are 7-2 underdogs at home. The draw is 11-4, and Spurs are 4-6 away from home. I don't know what to think of Spurs at the moment. People are writing off Harry Kane, but Harry Kane has 110 goals and 150-odd Premier League games, which is a phenomenal record, especially when you account for the fact he's not playing for City or Liverpool, who are banging in 100 goals a season. There's concerns over fatigue for Kane himself and for some of the other players after a long summer, and that could be exacerbated by the game in midweek. But I think people are kind of overplaying that card now, and there's a tendency to jump on with the current narrative. I don't think it's going to be too long before Kane is firing on all cylinders again. I wouldn't be surprised if this was the game that he went and bagged a couple of goals just to stick it to the media. But I wouldn't be overly keen at backing them. I think they're a little bit too short. I remember looking into before teams that play away from home in the Champions League or in Europe and then play on the Saturday if they've played on the Tuesday, have quite a poor record compared to how their odds stack up. So I think money would come for Brighton here, surprisingly. I'd be surprised if Spurs went off as short as they are. And I think they're going to need a bit of magic from Kane to win this one. I've gone for the draw at 11-4 in this.
Mark, Trappy fixture for Tottenham, do you think?
It is. I mean, obviously, the stories in the papers today about the players complaining about too heavy a workload in the training sessions and having to stay at the training ground after the Inter game, just bubbling under this sort of, you know, unhappy spell. I mean, obviously, Lloris is drink driving. You've had Harry Kane shot stats way down. No matter what way you look at it, his shots are way down. But then it was only a couple of weeks ago they won 3-0 at Manchester United and had won all three Premier League games. And, you know, people were talking them up as they went to Watford. So not a game I'd be backing Tottenham in, just because I think the lack of confidence is now real. And, that is something they need to work out. And if you have a look, since Vorm replaced Lloris in goal, they conceded from a set piece against Liverpool, against Watford, and against Inter. Vorm just doesn't, he can't command his box in the same way. He's a goal line keeper. So, and Brighton have got two potential threats there. Dunk and Duffy's been the one this season that's made his mark, but no reason really why Dunk can't get in on the act as well. So I'd be backing both of them any time, and you're hoping one of them cops.
Yeah, it does seem to be a gulf in class between Spurs' number one keeper and the backup. Joe, how do you see this one,
though? Yeah, I agree with what the lads have been saying, really. I'm going to take Brighton or draw, double chance, effectively a lay of Spurs. I just think they are low on confidence at the moment. It's not going to help. They could win the game, of course they could. They've got some great players. But, you know, they drew this last year as well. Brighton, a good side at home, and, you know, that... a good value for that draw as well. They 5-6 on the shots on target count, you know, nothing in it. So, yeah, Spurs could bounce back, but I wouldn't be backing them at the price.
Right, we're going to take a break and come back with Sunday's two Premier League games.
Throw-ins, corners, yellow cards. Previously very boring, now almost too exciting. Thanks to Same Game Multibets from Paddy Power. Same Game Multis allow you to combine multiple selections into one game. Easy. Available on all UK and top European leagues. T's and C's apply.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Football Postcast. We're looking ahead to a couple of intriguing Premier League games on Sunday, starting with West Ham against Chelsea, the London derby. West Ham got their much-needed first points of the season, winning at Everton last time out. Malachy Rooney from Paddy Power, how are you betting on this game?
So West Ham are 9-2 at home against Chelsea. The draw is 3-1, and Chelsea are favourites here at 4-7.
Would you be a backer of Chelsea to continue their fine start to the season at those kind of odds?
Yeah, I think West Ham were a little bit hard done by earlier on the season before they beat Everton last weekend. To be so low down, I think they will bounce back and they'll be quite strong later on the season. I don't think this is a game that suits them though. Chelsea are playing tonight, but they're going to rest a lot of players. I think they're set to get through that group. When you've got the likes of Eden Hazard in your team as well, with the way he's playing, it's very hard to look past them in a game like this. West Ham have been quite vulnerable at the back. They shipped a lot of chances against Everton, and that game was bizarre how there wasn't another 5 goals in it. Both teams could have scored at numerous stages. I think if they afford them opportunities to Chelsea, or even half as many, Chelsea ripped them apart. But the one thing I would say is it is a derby. West Ham will be a lot more up for it. I don't think it'll be a walkover for Chelsea by any means, but I think they'll just edge it. I think they'll edge it by possibly a goal, and I'd say Hazard could be the difference. So I've gone for Chelsea in this one, and with Mike Dean refereeing and the nature of the game, I've also gone for a sending off at 10-3. I think it's a nice wee prop bet to have.
That's a nice one to cheer on, isn't it, when you're watching a game? Mark, two new managers obviously this season. How do you see their long-term futures? They made kind of contrasting starts, but where do you see these two ending up in May?
Given how long you get generally at Chelsea, Vitari could win the Premier League and the Europa League and then find himself back at Napoli. I'm a huge admirer of Sarri and the football that he got Napoli to play. And when people question the fact that he didn't win a trophy, in a way that was praising him, because he'd taken them from a point where they weren't expected to win anything to people questioning why they've not beaten Juventus in the Scudetto, even though he's working on half the wage bill, the fifth biggest wage bill in Italy, playing the best football in Italy, getting 91 points, the most ever accumulated by a team in Italy, not to win the championship. I mean, he is a very good manager. I expected him to take longer to get going at Chelsea, but they've had a very easy start. When you look at sort of Newcastle, Bournemouth are doing okay, but you still expect to beat them at home. Huddersfield, you know, even Newcastle, you know. So it's been a nice start for them. Arsenal were all over the place themselves when they played them. So I think this is a tricky game. I've gone for the draw. I just think that maybe there's an opportunity here for West Ham because of the derby nature of it. That there hasn't been more than one goal in the last 8 meetings between Chelsea and West Ham. And when you think of the difference in class between the two teams, even at Stamford Bridge, West Ham tend to go okay. They've scored in their last 7 meetings. And at West Ham, Chelsea have lost 3 of their last 4 trips there. So Eden Hazard could destroy the bet, because I think he could win the Golden Boot this year and he could be player of the season under Sarri. But West Ham, I thought, played much better than the result suggested against Arsenal. They got their rewards at Everton. Now their confidence is up. Maybe they can get a point against Chelsea. I think there'd be better opportunities to back Chelsea than this week.
Joe, would you agree with that? Tough
yeah,
test
I'm
for Chelsea.
I'm inclined to agree with what Mark said. West Ham are always up for this game. They love playing against Chelsea. I think they've only lost two of their last seven in all competitions against Chelsea, which is pretty good considering the quality of players that Chelsea have. And yeah, they were much improved last time out. So you know, maybe they are starting to get it together. And I was just thinking maybe West Ham on the handicap plus one. So hopefully they can avoid defeat.
Yeah, it certainly looked to have added plenty of quality in attacking areas, West Ham. Looking ahead to the 4 o'clock game, I'm not convinced we're going to see a defensive masterclass in this one. Arsenal against Everton, they've played 10 league games between them this season, 9 of them both teams to score. I don't want to cloud your judgment in any way, but Malachy, the match betting and your take on this one, please.
Yeah, so Arsenal are a strong favourite here, 2-5. The draw is 7-2, and Everton are 5-1. And as you've astutely pointed out, the overs is quite short. Over 2.5 goals is actually as short as 4-9. This is set up to be a goal fest. I think this will be an absolutely cracking match. Both teams are very, very vulnerable at the back again. I think a lot of teams in the Premier League actually they've kind of adopted the Brazilian style of we'll score more than you. Arsenal definitely, I don't know why, they just never seem to focus on any kind of defensive aspect of their game. They have plenty of firepower up front though. Aubameyang I think is a top player. Lacazette, goals in midfield as well. I think there will be plenty of goals, but I think Arsenal will be on the right side of it as well. I thought Everton's biggest problem in the game against West Ham was that they lacked any sort of tangible game plan. They looked confused almost when they were carrying the ball from deep. Arsenal do still play in a very kind of quick passing game. I think they could drag Everton from side to side. I think they're going to create a lot of chances. I think the over 3.5 goals here at 5-4 is backable. And Arsenal, I think maybe a 3-1, 4-1. I've gone for Aubameyang to get a brace at 7-2. I'm not in any way friendly with Everton in this one.
And Mark, Everton's defence really struggled against West Ham. How do you see this going?
I mean, I think what happened was against West Ham has had a lot of players out, like a lot of the players that Silva brought weren't playing. So it was almost like a Sam Allardyce team trying to play in a different style of play to what Sam Allardyce would want, and you just ended up with this confused mess on the pitch. I think, like everybody else, I think that there'll be goals in this game. Just looked at Richarlison, 9-1 each way. I mean, there was a story in one of I think it was on the Liverpool Echo website, suggesting that Richarlison could play up front in this game because Tosin is obviously struggling, and it could be him, could be Calvert-Lewin. Whoever, even if he plays on the left, Richarlison, he'll just look at those acres of space in behind the Arsenal defence. And, you know, he returns from suspension. He's been their best player by a long way already. He scored for Brazil when he was on international duty. I can see Everton scoring, and, you know, Richarlison looks to be their biggest runner. And West Ham created a lot of chances against Arsenal, and so have most teams that have played against them this season. So Everton, I expect to probably lose the game, but Richarlison might be able to get on the score sheet.
Joe, 0-0 for you?
No, not quite. I did struggle a bit with this one because obviously they're not giving anything away with the overs quotes. Just looking at the best way to get on goals, really. And one I came up with is Arsenal to win the game and over 3.5 goals. I think they probably will prove to be too good for Everton, but especially at home. But, you know, the goals are pretty much nailed on in this game, I think. I'd be very surprised if there aren't any. So Arsenal are short enough to win the match. So if you expect them to win the match, you expect goals as well. That seems like a decent bet, Arsenal and over 3.5.
That's certainly been the way so far under Unai Emery for the Gunners. Right, the most important part of the show now, the panel's best bets of the weekend.
This will not be beaten.
Joe Champion, kick us off.
Yeah, I've gone to Serie A for my best bet. Sampdoria or draw at home to Inter Milan. Inter put in a big effort on Tuesday night against Spurs, and they've only got 4 points from their 4 games so far in the league. You know, Sampdoria, good side. They beat Napoli 3-0 at home earlier in the season, and they won 5-0 last weekend. They did play midweek, so they won't have that advantage, but I still expect them to get something out of it, and we'll be taking Inter at the prices. So 5-6, Sampdoria or draw.
Mark?
I'm going to go for hopefully a home banker in the Championship, and it's West Brom to beat Millwall. Millwall have had one day less to prepare for the game. West Brom are very good at home. I think because they've got Barnes in behind. I mean, Harvey Barnes is playing like John Barnes at the moment. In behind Jay Rodriguez and Dwight Gayle. They got four against Bristol City. They, of course, thumped QPR. They've beaten Stoke at home. They're having a few problems away from home at the Hawthorns with that style of football. They're battering teams. And Millwall just seems to be losing their way a little bit. I just wonder if the sale of Saville to Middlesbrough, he scored in midweek for them, has really affected them. So hopefully West Brom.
Yeah, that baggy strike force looking very tasty at that level. And Malachy, can you complete our weekend treble, please?
Yeah, I've dropped down the divisions and I've gone for Salford to beat Bournemouth in the National League. So I backed Salford before the season started when they were signing Adam Rooney. Thought it was a genius getting on them at 5-1. They were backed into, I think, 2-1 for the league, and then after three or four games, they were back out to 11-2. So I was pretty annoyed with that, but they have come good recently. They've won four of the last five. They've won four out of five at home. Bournemouth had a good win during the week away 4-0, but the fact that they had to play away from home, and it's such a drudge of a league, like there's so many games come thick and fast, I think Salford's record at home should see them over the line. So I think they'll win by a goal. I've gone for Salford at 10-11.
There you go, from Sampdoria to Salford, all the winners across Europe, hopefully. Thanks very much for listening, watching. If you enjoy our shows, please make sure you rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening. And don't miss our golf postcasts on Wednesday and our racing tipping postcasts every Monday and Friday. Catch us again next week, the Racing Post football postcast.
Throw-ins, corners, yellow cards. Previously very boring, now almost too exciting. Thanks to Same Game Multi Bets from Paddy Power. Same Game Multis allow you to combine multiple selections into one game. Easy. Available on all UK and top European leagues. T's and C's apply.